Father, we pray, Lord, that you do unto us in Jesus' name. Every wall that will prevent us from reaching that height that you've called us for, from getting to that level that you've called us for, Father, we pray that you break down in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you break into our hearts and you do that which you will do. As we listen to your word, we pray that our hearts will be fertile ground for your word in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that your people will hear that which you have for them in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd use me for your glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone in church today. We thank you for coming to worship God. And as you've come to honor God, I pray that God will honor you as well in Jesus' name. How many of us remember the theme for 2015? 2015, not 2016. 2015. Exceeding grace. That was the theme for 2015. And then we look at the theme for 2016. The year of exaltation. Amen. And if you bring both of them together, you bring exceeding grace and you bring exaltation together. They say two different things. Exceeding grace says that I'll give you the ability to, you know, to go through the year. I'll be with you in all. I will see you through. That's what exceeding grace says. My grace is sufficient for you. But exaltation talks about you being lifted high. You be taken to the next level. And some of us will look at 2015 and, you know, you think about it and you just say to yourself that it was only God that saw me through. Some people will look at 2015 and say that some people lost family members, some people lost jobs. You know, different things happened. But we thank God because the word at the beginning of the year was that I'm going to give you the grace to go through the year. And we thank God for the grace. 2015, it's over. And this year, God is saying, I'm going to exalt you. God is saying, I'm going to take you to the next level. Can you say to your neighbor, God is taking you to the next level? God is going to exalt you this year. And if 2015 for you was a wonderful year, God is saying that, you know what? I'm going to be the one at work this year. I'm going to be the one that I'm in charge this year. It means that 2016 is even going to be even more glorious. Amen. So I'm excited about 2016. I'm really excited about this. Can we open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 9. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 9. I think I'll be reading from the NIV. I actually don't really like reading loud. I always read to myself. You know why I always read to myself? You know, this Bible challenge thing that we're doing, right? We take it in turn. Sometimes I read it, sometimes my wife reads it. And she's always there correcting every single word, every single pronunciation. Everything I say, she's always correcting. Sometimes it can be quite frustrated, you know? But according to her, she's like, the Bible says that he that takes away any or adds to it. So because of that, you have to read it right. And I'm thinking, just let me off. So I'm going to try to read it. Okay. I have better understanding when I read to myself, but I pray God will help us. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 9. I'll be reading from NIV. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed on a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and saw him. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The theme for this year, like we said earlier, is the year of exaltation. And God is saying that he wants to exalt somebody. He wants to exalt you, he wants to exalt me. But knowing that God wants to exalt us, do we have a role to play? Do we have a part in being exalted? Is there something I need to do to make sure that I tap into that exaltation? Or do I just sit down and, you know, just do my daily things the way I do them and just go on about my daily life, my daily studies, and not do anything? Will I get exaltation like that? I'm thinking not. I'm thinking there's something that you have to do. You have to position yourself in a place where God gives, where God provides a blessing. Amen. You have to be in a position whereby God will exalt you. You have to be in that position whereby God will bless you. And there are so many things that you can do to be in a position whereby God notices you. There's so many things we can do. But there's some things, there are few points that the Holy Spirit has laid in my heart, and many of us know them, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us again so that somebody can take note of one of those points. I pray that as we listen, God will bless us in Jesus' name. We see the story that we've just read, Zacchaeus. Jesus Christ was passing by, and he was like, what's going on? And he said to him, Jesus Christ, you know, he's passing by. And because it was so short, he couldn't see. You know, some of us, we go to some concerts, and there's some tall, tall people in front of us, and we can't see. And we have to go to the sides to see what's going on. The same thing happened with this man. He could not see. So he decided to go and climb on a tree, you know, exactly where the spotlight is, where Jesus Christ is going to take. He positioned himself where he just wanted to see. That's all he wanted to do. But Jesus Christ noticed him and looked up and saw the man and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to be coming to your house. If Zacchaeus had decided that, you know what, it happens every time, I cannot see, I'll just stay where I am, you know, I'll not do anything, will he have had the divine visitation he had? Will he have had the exaltation he had? The Bible said that, Jesus Christ said that, salvation has come to your household. Victory has come to his household. So he did something. There was something that he did. He took a step, and he went to a place whereby Jesus Christ was going to notice him. What are some of the points that we need to be in a position whereby we receive the blessing? We need the information. The first thing is we need the information. And many of us, we have that information right now. Hallelujah. But if you don't have the information, you know, the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Because we don't know things, because we're not aware of it. There's a scholarship program going on, but because you're not aware of it, you don't apply. But you want to win the scholarship. You need that information. And we have the information right now that God is going to exalt somebody. I pray that that person will be you in Jesus' name. We just read Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 19. But if we go back a few verses in chapter 8 from verse 35, we see the example of a man who was blind. He was sitting by the roadside. When he heard the crowd, he said, what was happening? He wanted to find. He said, why is the crowd, you know, making so much noise? What's happening? He wanted to understand. And they said to him that Jesus Christ, you know, is passing by. I was like, okay, wow. Jesus Christ is passing by. He had the information. And he knew about Jesus Christ. So he said to himself, when Jesus Christ was about to pass, he was like, Jesus, O Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, he had that information that Jesus Christ was passing by. And, he walked with the information he had. But people said to him, quiet. But he kept on going, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus Christ stopped and said, bring the man to me. When the man came nearer, Jesus Christ said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, for your faith has healed you. Immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus, praising God. Imagine what would have happened if this man, this blind man, was not aware of that information that Jesus Christ was passing by. Imagine if you're not aware that this is your year of exaltation. For somebody, this is your year of exaltation. And it's good to have that information. So the first thing is, we need that information. And many of us, we tick that box. We are informed that this is my year of exaltation. But the second thing that we need to do is we need to expect, we need to hope, we need to have faith. that what God has said concerning us is going to happen. I don't know how many of us remember the prayer points that we prayed at the crossover service? What was it centered around? Expectation and hope. Expectation and hope. We need to expect, we need to hope that what God has said concerning us will happen, will take place. God said to the children of Israel that he was going to take them into the promised land. All of them had that information, but different people did different things with the information. For some people, they said, okay, let's go and spy the land. Let's go and look at what the land looks like. Some people came back with different reports. Some people had different expectations. Caleb and Joshua had a totally different expectation. What are your expectations this year? God is saying that he's going to exalt you. What are you expecting? When you look at the statistics around, what are you saying to yourself? You know, let's read that story. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 17 to 20. Numbers chapter 13, 17 to 20. Numbers 13, 17 to 20. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season of the first ripe grapes. We look at all the things that were mentioned there. One of the things that was mentioned there, are the people strong or are they weak? Do we think we can win the battle against them? Are they strong? Are they weak? Are they good? And the same question, we want a job promotion. We're thinking, okay, you know what? The people that are going to decide, what kind of people are they? You know, the managers and directors that will decide, what kind of people are they? You want to know. And when you think about them, oh, they're strong. Mm, probably I won't get that promotion. You know, we look at the statistics. Are they many or are they few? How many people will decide? Is there only one person that will decide if I get promoted? Or is it five people? If it's one person, probably I have a better chance. You know, we look at these things. How many people will decide? Are they many or are they small? Is the land good or is it bad? What's their history like? Do they normally do things like this? We ask ourselves this question. Are their towns surrounded by gates or are they unprotected? Are they surrounded by walls or are they protected? What are the policies in place? Oh no, they don't do it. They won't do it for me. What are the policies? So these questions were what they were asking themselves, and we ask ourselves exactly the same question in this day and age. You know, what's the policy like in that place? You know, you look at the policies and you think to yourself, is their soil fertile or is it poor? You also think, okay, that place, if I go there, you know, will I be able to settle there? Fertile talks about being productive. Will I be able to settle there? Or maybe after another few years, I'm gone again. Or after a few months, I'm gone. Talks about fertility. Is their soil fertile or is it poor? If we get the big breakthrough, what are the chances that we will see exaltation, that this exaltation will last? Will the company, you know, fold up? We ask ourselves these questions. And the last one says that, are there trees? Are there many trees? How protected is the city? How many doors do I have to go through, you know, to get my breakthrough, to get to where you want to get? And we know what different people brought back. Different people brought back the same, results, different expectations. And sometimes we ask ourselves these questions. What are the statistics like? How many people, you know, have achieved that before? You know, some of us, when we get to, before we do a course, before we study a course, we want to know what's the pass rate. It's true. We want to know what the pass rate is. If the pass rate is like 20%, so I'm not doing that course. It's true. But God is saying, irrespective of the statistics, is going to exalt somebody. You ask yourself, can I make it? You ask yourself, you say to yourself, you look at the years and you say to yourself, my time has passed. You say to yourself, I cannot get that job because I don't have enough experience. You look at all the statistics involved. You say to yourself, I can't get that job because I don't have the qualifications. You look at yourself, you say to yourself, I cannot be that team leader. I cannot be the manager because I don't have the intellectual ability. I don't have the experience to do it. We look at so many things, so many statistics we look at. I don't have the right credit score to get a mortgage. I've been waiting too long. You know, we have so many statistics that we look at. And exactly the same thing the children of Israel did. They went to look at the statistics. But some people had expectation that irrespective of all these things, that we can get to where God has called us to be. What are your expectations? What are you expecting? Are you just there not expecting anything? Or, you know, you have to have an expectation. You have to have a hope. You have to have faith if you're going to be exalted this year. And I pray that we'll all be exalted in Jesus' name. One of the other things that we need to take note of if we want to get that blessing, if we want to get that exaltation, is to stay far away from sin. Listen and listen very carefully. You might have done it years and years before or months ago. This year you want to stay away from sin. Sin is one of the things that will prevent you from getting to that level that God has called you to be. The devil knows that God has a serious blessing in stock for you, and he will try to do everything to make you not reach where God wants you to reach. He will try to bring everything your way to make sure that you don't get there. So, like never before, watch out for sin. Watch out for sin. The Bible says in Proverbs that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to the people. Sin will not make you get to where God has called you to be. So in this year that God is saying that, I want to exalt you. I want to exalt somebody. And if you want that person to be, you have to make sure that you know what. All those things that I easily do, you know, all those lies that you tell, you know, you want to stay far away from those things because this year is a special year. And for you to receive that blessing, you want to stay far away from sin. Stay alert. The enemy knows that you're due for a blessing, and he will try everything to prevent you from your blessing. Run away from sin. And one of the words that came to me while I was meditating was, don't exchange your generational blessing for a moment of pleasure. Don't exchange your generational blessing for a moment of pleasure. The blessing that God wants to bless you, it's not just a case of just you. God wants to do something. I think one of the prophecies for the year is that some people would research their progress, promotion. They will research it back to 2016. I'm paraphrasing here, but does anyone have the exact phrase? So that some people, for some families and some homes, they will retrace their generational blessings to 2016. Thank you very much. So some families will do. You know, when he says some families, he's talking futuristic. That they will trace their generational blessing to this year, that where did all this goodness begin? Where did it start from? It started from you. And I pray that will be your portion in Jesus' name. Your generation and generation to come will trace their generational blessings to you in Jesus' name. So please don't exchange your blessings for a moment of pleasure. Stay far away from sin. Many of us, we know the story of Eli and his family. They were promised that their household for generations to come will be they will be the ones, you know, to serve as priests. But we know the story. Their children, you know, because of pleasures, they decided that, you know, we're not going to do what is right. We're not going to do what is right. And eventually, God said, okay, I said it before that I will bless your generations, but you know what? Now I've changed. Now I'm not doing it anymore because of your children, because of what your children have done. Don't let sin prevent you from your breakthrough. How can the Lord make his face shine upon you when the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1:13, your eyes are pure, are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. God has a blessing in his hand that he wants to give. But Hebrews is saying that, you know, God's eyes are too pure to behold iniquity. So how will he make his face shine upon you? How will he give you that blessing if he sees sin? I pray that when he comes calling, we'll be found righteous in Jesus' name. And even in the story that we read earlier, when people were saying about Zacchaeus, that, you know what, Zacchaeus is a tax collector. You know, he steals from people, he does this, he does that. And Zacchaeus said, he said to Jesus Christ, he said that, you know what, if I have been accused, not if I've been found, not they found me. He said, if they accuse me of doing what is wrong, I go out of my way to repay them four times in fourfolds. You know, some of us, some people say things about us and then we show our true color. We show them that, okay, today they will know. You know, they were talking about Debo not being a gentleman. Debo is a very gentleman. He's a very gentleman. On a Friday, you guys will see how gentle Debo is. When he comes here with, you know, the food, the cake, after prayer meeting, right? You're so gentle that you're going to do that for us, right? So after prayer meeting, the gentleman will show himself. But no, you know, some people will say some things about us, and instead of us, you know, to peacefully, you know, tell them that, oh, no, I think you got this wrong. This is how it happened. This is how it is. No, we say to them, who do they think they are? You know, we go. But Zacchaeus was saying to Jesus Christ here, he said, if I've been falsely accused, he said, I paid them four times whatever I've been accused of. One of the other key points that we have to take note, if we want to receive that exaltation, is that there might be a test. I'm saying there might be a test because some of us, we don't like the word test. Trust me, most likely, a test will come. A test will come your way. And it might be a test to test your obedience. It might be a test to test your patience. It might be a test to test your faith. A test will come your way. And I pray that when that test comes, you will pass in Jesus' name. You will not fail that test in Jesus' name. God sometimes tests people in areas of their need. God may ask you to give up a job, to give up a career. Please watch out for those tests. When this test comes your way, God is trying to give you a future blessing. God is trying to give you a future blessing. When the test of patience comes your way, wait for God. When the test of faith comes your way, say to yourself that you can achieve it. You know, there's some things that will look like, this is not looking like what God has said. But when all those tests comes your way, stay strong. Jesus Christ was tempted. The Bible said that Jesus Christ was led up to be tempted. And after the temptation, after he passed all the tests, the Bible said that he was given a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So there's a test. The test will come your way. Whatever the test is, you need to pass that test. We see the story of Abraham. They had no child. They were tested. God said to him, you know, go and sacrifice your only son, Isaac. And he obeyed God. As he was about to, you know, sacrifice, God said, you know, okay, stop it. And God said, you know what? I've never done this before, but in my name, God swore by himself. You know, God did not, he was looking for something to drive the point home. And he said, I swear by myself, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. So when the test comes your way, I pray that you will pass in Jesus' name. A lot of you have heard about my testimony, and it's just fantastic. And the reason why I say it all the time is because it just tells me that this is God. I was once tested, you know. Just for the benefit of those that don't know what I'm about to say. A lot of us, we already know it. But I was writing some things down, and I just thought to myself, how faithful God is. I finished from uni like many of you will finish, successfully in Jesus' name. I was going to get a job. I couldn't get a job. You know, they offered me a job. They said that the job was 5 to 9. I was like, no, I'm not going to take that job. After looking, searching, CV, interview. I got the job eventually, 5 to 9. But I said I wasn't going to take it because it was going to prevent me from going for midweek services. Eventually, a month or two later, another job offer came. I got the job. The job was not the best of jobs, but God had a plan. The job I got, the hours were so flexible that if I didn't want to go to work tomorrow, all I had to do was just send my boss a text message to say, I don't want to come in tomorrow. That was how flexible it was. So God being faithful, that, you know what, if you're giving me that time, I'll give you flexibility. I mean, what time do we resume at work? What time is the latest you resume at work? Anybody? 10, who is saying 10? Mr. Babs, 10. Mr. Babs, you're a contractor. You don't work for anybody, you work for yourself. What time do you what people that are employees, 9. Guess what? The latest I can get to work is 10. And sometimes while people are already on the road, I'm still sleeping. That was how flexible the job was. And guess what? If I get to work at 10, what time can I go on lunch? 12:30. How much lunch can I have? 2 hours. What's the earliest I can leave work? 4:30. How many hours have I actually done? 4 hours. How many hours should I do? 7.5 hours. That was how flexible the job was, right? God did not only finish there. I thought to myself, okay, I'm not British. What am I going to do regarding, you know, getting a work permit? And a company that I've never sponsored people decided that, you know what, we're going to sponsor you. They sponsored me. They paid the fees. And even when the so-called, everything was a bit difficult in 2008, you know, they were talking about the, what did they call it, depression or whatever they call it, a company was willing to sponsor me. God did not stop there. God then promoted me to a state whereby it's only God. God promoted me to a state whereby I began to manage the person that did my interview. There was a test in the beginning. There was a test that said that, you know what, take this job. I was like, no, I'm not going to take it. God did not just stop there. A few years later, I was like, okay, I want to leave the job, you know. The job is not paying well, blah, 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 blah. And he said, okay, whatever the other people, the other employers are giving you, we're going to match it. Stay. And they match there. You know, when the Bible says that it's going to make you solutions to people's problems, that was what I was at work. And a few months later, a few years later, it doesn't just happen like that. I've been working for this company for 8 years. A few years later, what happened? They decided that they were going to promote me to a level of a group accountant. The company I work for has about 14 different companies to be that position. My manager is not qualified, but he pulled me up to go and study, to get qualified. That's what he did. He put me up to get qualified. Have they ever done it for anybody? No. If you look at the statistics, 0. But that's what they did. And again, they said that, okay, you know, when they said, okay, you can go and study, I thought to myself, I'll do evening classes or weekend classes so that it doesn't interfere with my work. And they said to me, oh, no, we're going to consider you doing it during the week. I'm like, oh, okay, it looks like they don't want to pay me, they want to reduce my pay. Oh, no, we're going to pay you for, we're going to pay you while you're at college. Ah, okay, definitely. Okay. I'll definitely, I'll definitely do it during the week. And later on, he said to me again, we don't want you coming back from college and feeling all stressed up because you have to do all the work that you're meant to do. We're going to get somebody else in. And we promise you, you're not going to be without work. There's some projects that we want to do that we're going to give to you to do while this other person is doing the work. And they said to me, if you find out that you don't have any time, you're not doing anything, go on your college website and start studying at work. Oh yeah, we've told everybody. We've told your teammates that that's what's going to happen. This can only be God. A test is going to come your way. And I pray that you won't fail that test in Jesus' name. But when I think about this testimony, when I think about how things have been, I ask myself this question, that how many opportunities have passed me by just like that that I'm not aware of? I can't say all these things if I had gone for the job that would prevent me from coming to church. How many of such opportunities has God brought our way that we've missed? I pray that when God brings the opportunity your way, you're not going to miss it in Jesus' name. I pray that none of us will fail the test in Jesus' name. The man that receives the blessing is the man that seizes opportunity to be a blessing. The man that receives the blessing is the man that seizes the opportunity to be a blessing. This is another point. I'll be quick about this. Many of us, we think we're ordinary. We're not ordinary. You're the solutions to people's problems. You're the solution people are waiting for. And we have to seize opportunities to be a blessing to others, because when we're a blessing, God is going to in turn bless us. The Bible says that give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking over, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Many of us, it's all about what we can get. But we need to be a blessing to other people as well. I saw a video on Facebook. Okay, it's 12:27. Wow. Okay. I saw a video on Facebook. People were eating, eating on the streets and eating their food, and they went to meet all of them to say, "Can I have some of your meal? Can I have a slice of pizza? Can I have this? Can I have that?" All of them were like, "No." But there was this man, some of these guys that sleep on the street. They went to meet him. They gave him a box of pizza. Actually, I didn't think I can finish the food. Take the box of pizza. And when they gave him a box of pizza, they went. Another person now went to meet that guy and said to him, "Can I have a slice of pizza?" He was like, yeah, feel free. This guy was being videoed, and they videoed all the other people that, were normal people. And they were like, "Oh, thank you that you gave the guy some food." And they gave him, I think it was about $100 extra, because if that guy had decided that, I don't know what I'm going to eat this evening, I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow, I'm not giving you, what would have happened? He would have missed the opportunity. So for us to receive that blessing, the things that are going to come our way, I'd like to crave your indulgence, please. Just give us an extra 5 minutes, yeah? An extra 5 minutes. So that means we're going to finish at 12:35, yeah? 12:35. We had a testimony now on our way back from London on Friday about this guy that every month he gets his tithe, he gets paid, he looks at the tithe and says, this 10% is just too much for me to give to God. And he'll leave the 10% inside his wallet. And the next month will come, he will give last month's tithe and hang on to the other tithe, this money is too much, this money is too much, this money is too much. And then later on, he decided that this money is too much, I'm not paying tithe anymore. And the people that he introduced to his workplace became his boss and things like that, and he was thinking, what's going on? The people that became his boss, they were coming to ask him questions, and they were Christians as well. Eventually, he spoke to his pastor, and his pastor said to him, all your tithes, go and pay them and see what happens. This guy used to make £2,000 a month previously. And when he paid all his tithes, he began to earn £12,000 a month. And the company wrote to him and said that, "We're sorry we've ignored you all this while, but this is where your level should be. Paying our tithes and offering." The Bible says that, you know, we say offering time, we say blessing time. Some people offering time, okay, it's time to give our money. But it's actually a blessing time. It's an opportunity for us to be blessed. Because God says that, test me. He says, test me in this. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Some people see paying tithes as a command. Paying your tithe and your offering is an opportunity for you to be blessed. Final point. Who is the man that is going to receive the blessing? The man that is going to receive the blessing is the man that exalts the giver of the gift more than the gift. The Bible says that the blessings of God makes rich and adds no sorrow. The blessings of God makes you rich. It does not add any sorrow to it. If God is going to bless you to a level whereby he knows that this thing might be detrimental to you, that this thing is going to take you away from me, will he bless you with it? I don't think so. Because the Bible clearly says that the blessing of God makes rich and adds no sorrow. So we've looked at a few points. And I pray that this point will have fertile ground in our hearts in Jesus' name. That we're going to be obedient to the call, to the test of time. That we're going to stay away from sin. That when it comes to opportunities to give to others, that we're going to give those opportunities. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we want to say thank you for your word that has come to us this afternoon. And we thank you because we know that you have a plan for us. We know that you want to take us to places. Father, we pray that you would help us, that we will be obedient to you in Jesus' name. That when we look at the statistics, that we're not going to be discouraged, but our faith will be strong that we can achieve in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you would help us, that when the opportunity arises for us to get to that next level, Father, we pray that you would help us to take them in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that these words will not just end here, but Father, at the end of this year, every one of us will come back to testify that, Lord, you've been good, that it has only been God. Father, this will be our testimony in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Pastor D.
So shall we rise off? Even as we close, I'd just like to read a word that came during the praise and worship session.